for some post-authorization change report for things that that need to go all the way to Congress to change some things at the project. But that remains to be seen. Next slide. So the one urgent issue that we identified was the subsidence at Cascades Island. Photograph shows the major subsidence area. That's where a lab was located at one point. That lab was demolished on site and bulldozed into the ground, and then pavement was placed over the lab. And over the years, there's been subsidence caused, we think, because of the deterioration of the building materials that made up that lab. There's been subsidence in other locations too. By the crane in this picture, it shows where a sinkhole was formed. And along the left-hand side of the photograph, there's some arrows pointing to where some subsidence holes are forming. And actually, in the lower right-hand corner of the photograph, when we were out on site this earlier this week, we saw a subsidence hole. So our geotechnical folks have been out there in the recent past and certainly agree that the major subsidence is due to that lab, but the other subsidence that's shown in this photograph and that I just talked about, we are not 100% sure what the cause of that is. To reduce risk, the project has removed the asphalt so that we have gravel out there in that parking lot. So it'll be easier to see where subsidence is occurring, and so that voids don't form below asphalt, and we just don't know about it. The impact is safety. Something that happened in the recent past was that the crane was located over a void that was hidden because of the asphalt, and a major shift in the crane could have injured people. And longer term, if we can't get the crane in there to do fish ladder maintenance, that's going to have environmental impacts. So by removing the asphalt, we've done an interim fix. The PDT has recommended that this be removed from the major rehab report because it needs to be dealt with before we complete the major rehab report. So that's the path going forward. Laura, did you have any comments?
That's okay. What we need to do. We need to shift it to
Right.
So, two issues. One, yeah. I'm concerned also about the Cascade Island ladder. You got a big bluff or slope there on one side of it. If you're starting to lose support on the other side, I think we're seeing that ladder shift slightly, sort of wanton down-esque, you know, thing going on there. So, that, and then there's support. You can sort of see them in there. There's those support members that used to support that north wall. Those are just hanging by wire now. There used to be big blocks of wood in there that rotted away. Those support members are doing nothing but adding more weight to the ladder itself. So I guess there's two. Yeah, there's a safety issue, obviously. Also, maybe an issue there for the ladder itself. Stability of that ladder, which is a critical issue for us. And the other issue is, what kind of schedule are we really talking about here? Is this
So we have recommended that it be addressed as soon as possible, and folks from EC, from our geotechnical staff, have been out there to do some investigations, and I'm going back to our programs folks to tell them that we see a need for this to be addressed as soon as possible. We're going into, in 2016, we'll be going into the 2018 budget cycle, and my feedback to programs is going to be this, in my opinion, in the PDT's opinion, we can't wait 2 years for the normal budget process.
Yeah. So, getting it back going there, getting the work on right away, just getting the whole thing up,
right.
Start over again.
So that's
all dredged oil materials or something.
Or it's got some debris from
the sea.
Hey,
some rocks. The rocks that you took out of the...
That'd be perfect.
There's probably more.
Well, there are a lot more.
Yeah, so we got a spot where you put them.
How'd that be better than dredged oil?
A little bit.
Okay, any other questions on our most urgent issue out there? Okay.
So I
start 13 minutes.
Oh, I could probably crash through this in 13 minutes. An additional interim O&M issue is bridges, and I'm calling out three bridges as the ones that we have the most concerns with. The old Navlock swing bridge has some issues. We just had an inspection done on that, and we're waiting for that report to be finalized. The Bradford Island Fish Ladder and North Spillway Bridges both have issues. And so in the coming years, we'll be looking at O&M work to make sure that those are still usable before the major rehab report is done.
So the Bradford Island Ladder, that bridge, there was some work going down there. Is that what you're talking about? I mean, is there resurface that? Or is there more to it?
I think there's more to it, but I'm not the bridge person, but I believe there is something more to that topic than what we've already repaired.
I think that was the surface, although it was quite a bit of work went on there, so it wasn't just like new asphalt on top of what was there. I think
no.
We dug it up, ripped it out, took out all the railing, put it in concrete.
I don't remember well enough, but I think it has to do with the connection between the abutment on the powerhouse one side, I believe. But don't hold me to that.
Okay. So there's more to it than what we've seen so far. In other words. Yeah, on the North Spillway, you've got a plate over that. So.
Right.
I worry about that every time.
Well, as long as it's there, it should be good, but it's certainly not a long-term solution. So, okay, next one. So, fish ladders, the Washington Shore auxiliary water supply leaks. This shows, upper right-hand corner, shows one of the leaks that has been previously repaired. We're still losing some water there. So we have a need to go back in there and further reduce the leaks. And then there are some areas where no repairs have been done because at the time that project was done, the leaks weren't bad in those locations, but they have gotten worse over time. So that's something we're recommending be addressed well before the end of the major rehab report. Cascades Island PLCs and other PLCs are getting to be the age that we were having a hard time locating replacement parts, so we're recommending installation of newer PLCs that we can get replacement parts, so when they break down, we can fix them.
So is that Cascade and is that B Branch as well, or is Cascade Island?
I think that all of the fish ladders have some PLCs that... that are getting to be the age where we can't get replacement parts.
Even
but the one,
even Washington Shore,
that one is the newest, so probably not. But Bradford Island and Cascades, yeah, Cascades Island for sure.
It was changed out here last 2 years ago or so.
To the best of my knowledge, I think it's Cascades Island, Bradford Island.
Yeah, Cascades, Bradford are the same. They have the same problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then. The lower right-hand corner shows the Bradford Island auxiliary water supply leaks. It's sort of bubbling out there. Sometimes it gets up a little bit higher.
And geyser.
What's that?
It's the Bonneville geyser.
The geyser, right. So it's a tourist attraction. So that's a concern that we want to get addressed.
Yes.
My team is trying to, I don't know exactly where you're talking about, but we're trying to address the A-ladder geyser issue. So we've got A&E working on those plans and specs right now.
Oh, that is great news. And that's that picture is A-branch, and that's where we have the concern.
Okay.
So
so...
We just don't have money to award, so...
Okay. So that's in process. Good. Next slide. The spillway gantry cranes were inspected back in 2009, and a report was completed. And one of the issues there was corrosion. At that time, immediate replacement was not called for. And in the recent past, Bonneville project staff has expressed some concern about corrosion again. And so in FY16, we are going to have the cranes inspected, and we will either recommend an O&M project, or if the corrosion is significant enough, then we'll look at a major maintenance report to address that. It just depends on how bad the corrosion is once we get it inspected this fiscal year.
When? When are we going to do that inspection again? Is that this year?
Or yes, FY16.
FY16. For your budgets.
Okay, that's fine.
So you're saying you're already late?
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
So in FY15, the team made recommendations for things that should go into the major rehab report and possibly a major maintenance report. And we based those recommendations on two potential failure mode analyses that we did. One was focused on fish ladders and bridges. One was focused on the spillway and the navigation locks. And we covered life safety, economic, and environmental risks. I mentioned the basic requirements for a major rehab report: over 2 years of construction, over $20 million. And for a major maintenance report, something that can be constructed within 2 years, but exceeds $6 million. And authority issues, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but the navigation lock, the old navigation lock, swing bridge, either needs a lot of work or perhaps replacement, and perhaps replacement with a fixed bridge. And that would potentially require deauthorization of the old nav lock.
Good luck.
Yeah. I know it's been tried in the past.
We know.
And then I'll brief a little further on authority issues on the next slide or so. Go ahead. So as I mentioned, there is an issue evaluation study that's planned to start in FY16. The Risk Management Center drives that, and that will address seismic loading and hydrologic capacity. And it could potentially lead to a dam safety modification study, depending on the outcome of the issue evaluation study. Next slide. So this year, our team is coordinating with the IES, specifically on hydrologic capacity. We're going to take a look at three flows that our team feels are the most important flows to look at. A million CFS is about how much we can pass without splitting gates at Bonneville. 1.6 million CFS is the design capacity of the spillway. And 2.1 million CFS is the PMF that was calculated in about 1969. And to assist the IES team and to bring them up to speed quicker and to provide them with the knowledge that our team has, specifically of Bonneville Dam and also of the entire Columbia River Basin, the team is going to look at the feasibility of spillway concepts for each one of those flows and look at how we might pass those flows with specific characteristics that could mesh one with the other, so that no matter what the IES results in as far as hydrologic capacity, we end up with a workable solution. And in that process, since the IES is not going to specifically address fish passage, our PDT wants to make sure that these alternative spillway concepts do address fish passage. And so if we provide that information to them in advance, then we stand a better chance of getting what's best for our district and for the region. Seismic criteria is based on a site characterization report, and we have some expertise on our PDT that will be used to develop that site characterization report in advance of when it normally is developed. So we're starting development during FY16, actually before the IES gets rolling. That's normally the first thing that's done in an IES, so we're going to develop some of that information in advance so that as soon as the IES gets started, they'll have a head start. Next slide, please. So just a quick summary before the computer restarts. One urgent issue, the Cascades Island subsidence, some interim O&M issues. I did not mention the gate repair pit, but I am the project manager for the spillway gate repair pit. We're doing a design for some modernization of the gate repair pit so that we can conduct and periodic maintenance on spillway gates, which has not been conducted for a number of years. And it'll include the other items that I briefed. A potential major maintenance report is the spillway cranes, but that depends on the results of the inspection. And then the major rehabilitation report will address bridges, fish ladders, spillway, navigation locks. And the issue evaluation study will look at both seismic loading and hydrologic capacity. And the potential for a post-authorization report is driven by our plans for NavLock 1. And also, if the hydrologic capacity that's recommended by the IES, if it's in excess of our current 1.6 million CFS design flow, then there is a high likelihood that that would require a post-authorization change report. And so we're, as I mentioned, the PDT plans to develop three alternative concepts for the spillway that would address various flows and give specific consideration to fish passage, along with the other things that we're trying to make sure happen. Any questions?
No.
Thanks for the opportunity to brief. Thanks a lot to you guys for letting me go early. I appreciate that, because I got some other stuff I got to get to.
So. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Take care, everybody. Thanks to you two for being here. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye, everybody.
I did it before the computer rebooted.
Good job.
Right. Good job.
Thanks,
that was the countdown.
You
should do that every time.
My computer's going to restart, really.
Wait. Yeah. I think a few people called in. Three people, maybe.
Yeah, this is Trevor Connor with NOAA.
Hey, Trevor.
Wait, you can't find the train?
I
was out in the fence.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, this is Scott. I have to drop off for about an hour, but I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
And then, Sean, this is Eric Van Dyke. I called in, too.
Hi, Eric.
Couldn't find the train, either, so.
He didn't have much sleep. He's all punchy today.
Punchy. Anyone else call in? So in the room, Christine Peterson joined us and Tammy Mackey. We're waiting for my computer to reboot, but I don't think these next items really have anything to present. So, we should probably bring up the minutes. But so the next agenda item was approving the October meeting minutes.
Before we totally jump off this last topic, I was wondering, so you kind of set up a time of what you're doing. What's the timeline?
Yeah, I was just going to ask the same thing. It'd be good to have, you know, you've got all these items that you're doing, looking at, there's all the different kinds of reports and all that, but what realistically are we looking at?
Is it 5 years, two years, 10 years?
I think that we need to work on that schedule for you, and we need to work it in tandem with the vision that we have one schedule.
Can you put together something for, you know, later? I mean, this could be a living thing that we just, as you know, laid out.
Recently, found that the vision in the district needs some adjusting.
Some coordination.
Well, maybe that'll be a catalyst.
And so I won't guarantee we have it by February that we'll have agreement, but I would say that sometime, maybe say early, late spring.
The resolution could be this wide to start with, and then start narrowing as you know.
So, but I think it's we've had an interesting week. We found out how far apart we thought we were or weren't. So we have some adjusting to do.
That's good news. That means I just you're working on it.
And so we will make it a deliverable of a schedule of timing of when we think things are going to kind of could happen.
Yeah.
Optimistic could happen.
And give us a structure and a
We'll try and shoot for that. I don't think we'll have it in the February meeting.
Okay. That's fine.
Because we need
Before I retire and be good to have.
Yeah, before I retire. It's a deliverable, but we won't make that either.
Yeah.
We'll shoot for the next one.
And then the follow-up question about is, once you get these reports, however long it takes, is all of this got to be appropriated dollars? So it's going to be above and beyond what you currently do. So you're going to go to Congress and get the funding for this? Or you have O&M cover it?
Okay. Here is...
That's for you, Tim.
Here's the way things... Here's Lori's view of the world, and I'm not a financial person with the Corps of Engineers. Major maintenance is something that we program in, but are not, there are things we request and program in, but they're not all the way to Congress. Major rehabs, because major rehabs, especially if you start thinking of what we could be looking at that spillway, those are line item budgets.
Yeah.
So that's the spillway. Even if we were to just replace the gates and the hoist, the dollar amount is so significant. It's a line item. And that's what I want to include on those. Those are the schedule coordinations that we want on your schedule, that you understand we can get the design, that we can get the design done, but that it's when are the budget cycles occurring, when could it make whatever it needs to make.
Right.
Yeah, I don't understand that well, and we want to get that on the schedule.
What's the steps in there? Maybe just describing the steps, and as you know, you fill in blanks.
I'm just thinking if
some agency writes some sort of regulatory buy-up, I think it's called, has this kind of information that could be added into said document and other... Yeah. No, really don't. But other agencies like, I don't know, tribes, congressional, I will say sway, but that's well beyond us. That's a very strong word. We don't have sway, but we
show up. Communicate with those.
Exactly. And the more information you get to help you guys get this stuff is where we see us involved, and we hope NOAA includes this in some of their documentation in the future.
The goal
we'll
would be, those would be the types of things we'd want to see on the schedule we give you. They're just kind of great. But we'll work on it.
Just the structure.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. So the minutes. Notes.
I thought you had time to look at summer.
From last meeting. Could we have a redo?
Yes.
Please.
We can.
Because I have more comments than I have paper to write them on.
You broke the chair?
Well, I started trying to correct things, and I thought I just gave up. So, not to say anything bad about it, but...
Give me some time, and I will go
Okay. Yeah, because it just, there were, I don't want them to stand as they are because they're not right.
Okay.
And I'm trying to make them right. Obviously, the tape, or somebody does, because I don't know the relevance. Maybe Tom does.
I have to go to the right.
But I know there's things in here that aren't right, especially in the first two or three discussion topics in there on the Bonneville FGE and Turbine Survival Program, B2 orifices, there
are some issues.
Some issues in there that I think need to be straightened out. It could be a little briefer.
Yes.
But nothing wrong with detail, it's just that it needs to be accurate detail. So, so that's all. So not approved.
Next meeting?
Yeah, sure. Let's punt that one.
Here's one. Are you happier?
I'm happy. I know. You're the one that's not happy. Oh, not at all. I'm just telling it like it is. Carrie's not here.
So the Dallas East adult ladder AWS backup.
No changes since the last update last time we met. Before it's still.
Yeah, holding pattern.
Working through. Yeah, the.
Is there a schedule on that of when you think you'll be done with your, when are they going to have a hearing or whatever you need to do to deal with the contract resolution?
I don't have that, but as soon as I get it, I'll pass it along. Okay. I haven't had a chance to check in with Pat this week.
So, you're screwed for this year, but you should still be hopefully, there's no indication that next year will also be equally hosed. Okay.
No, I don't think we're hosed.
Yet.
I think at this point, what we're planning on is, shifting things back here.
Okay. So far, still here. Wonderful.
You were just playing with it anyways. Hey, we're going to start this year. Get ready for it. Psych!
Okay. Yeah, it just makes me think I just need to give up all the way around.
No, you can't go. You can't retire until this project's done. That's your last one. Sorry. I guarantee you at least 2 years.
I may have said that, but I'm going
to
rethink that.
Excellent. Now I'm holding you to that. You're from Missouri.
That's a show me state, not a hold me state.
Come on, you're a man of your word.
Well done.
Show me, not a hold me.
Natalie.
Okay, so I'm here to update you on the John Day pumps. So that for those for Ricardo who may not know, there are 6 pumps out there that feed our John Day North Fish Ladder, and we've been struggling to. Anyway, you have one down. Number 4 is down in pieces. But the other ones, what they did was we had them periodically down because of vibration issues. And they went out in November, I believe it was, and they did some rebalancing of them, adding weight, adding shivs, and substantially reduced the vibration so that we don't have any fear of running them and then having them vibrate off. Anyway, so that's really helpful to us. So right now the plan is we've got the 90% plans and specs in our midst. We provided comments back Monday, I believe it was. They're in the process of ordering 2 shafts for 3 and 4. We've provided a direction to them that they have to get 3 and 4 back up and running by May 1st. So that's what they're working on. And redo the shaft and have it be able to run so that we have 6 pumps that can run for May 1st. And then we're meeting next week to discuss doing all of the work for all the remaining 4. The total of we'll have 6 redone. So does that make sense?
So are they going to need new shafts on all of them, or just 3 and 4 need new shafts?
Well, so there's 4 definitely does. 4 bent. 4 shaft was bent when it failed. So number 3 is needing a new shaft because of the time frame. They can't get it rehabbed. They can't pull it out and rehab it and bring it back by May 1st. So it's a purchase of a new shaft.
Aren't these new pumps?
gosh. She's going to hit me one of these days.
I'm not going to
hit you. That coffee mug upside your head's got hurt.
So we're working through it. It's, you know, we've been in discussions with the contractor, sharing the cost as we go. And just luckily, we have robust pumps, and we've been able to meet the criteria. Keep the fish moving while this goes on, and all this design work is playing out, and we're trying as fast as we can to get them all fixed. So, Laura, you look concerned. Okay. Any questions for me?
The only last thing I was going to say, so by doing the reweighting, shivving, basically trying to get the shafts to balance, that has removed the 200. By doing that, you now have the 200 RPM constraint has been removed.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which is really helpful for us.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Yeah, yeah. So now we can run them whatever they need to go. They go up to 229. Yeah. I don't know that we always run them that high, but we have the ability to.
And that was on all of them.
Yeah. Well, four is down in pieces, but the five that are remaining that can run. Right?
Exactly. And so those last four that you mentioned, that schedule is something that you're just working out now?
No, we have it. So we wanted to have six pumps available to get us through the freshet.
Right.
And then we are coordinating to have them bring down the two next ones. We're trying to do them in
pairs,
exactly. Okay. And so that would start July for the next two. And I'm sorry, I can't remember which two. I think it's going to be like one and two, and then five and six are the last.
Okay.
But don't quote me on it. I'd have to have it in front of me. And then we'd have them all done by the next freshet. Not this freshet, but the next freshet.
Yeah.
The 17.
All done by May of 17.
Right, exactly. That's the goal. So are there any more questions for me on the pumps?
Okay.
Any questions on the phone for me? Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Too.
Look forward to seeing that. Not on the SCT budget anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice to be done.
So the next quick item is the John Day North ladder pit detection project. Tim Kuhn was kind of in and out this morning to introduce himself to folks. Tim was just assigned as the project manager for this project, so it hasn't really got off the ground. He said he's checking on the latest on getting a tech lead assigned. Ricardo Walker will be on the PDT. And as it says on the agenda, I think there's awareness from our last discussion at Fitterwick of the need to have folks engaged in the initial scoping to make sure that we're kind of doing the right level of effort.
Get you on the right path.
And then, so you're anticipating a scoping meeting when?
What do you think, Ricardo?
2017?
17 would be great. Sometime after June, please.
No, this is another one of yours that you have to get in. Or is this Trevor's?
No, this is Trevor's.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know yet.
It depends on when he gets a tech lead assigned. So,
but I mean, I'm still looking for January, February, March, something like that. Are we looking?
Well, we would have
I haven't
to,
even talked
if
to
we're going
to
get
okay,
this
so
done.
Think,
are you?
Yeah.
Are you thinking
we're
like
get design
less than 6 months or more than 6 months?
You should be asking Sean.
Right. Less than 6 months or more than 6 months? How about that?
Trying to narrow you down a little bit here.
I'm
I would hope. So, like I said, it depends on when they get the tech lead.
When the minutes
assigned,
come out.
But
when the minutes come out for this meeting, let's have something in there for that.
Sean followed up and said,
"Yeah, Ricardo will schedule a
meeting.
We'll schedule a meeting ASAP and let us know when that's going to be." Because the issues are really to talk about location of the ladder and any kind of mods that we're going to be doing, and if there are any hydraulic considerations or concerns that we're going to have, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Ship packs.
Exactly.
So, you know, at least it doesn't have to be detailed, but.
And since I was on the last team, I'll work with Ricardo too on kind of relaying the history as much as possible.
Promise not to bite
much. Or hard.
Still the new guy. Just remember that.
You're tender, though.
Did you catch that, Scott?
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, if there's anything we can offer or anything you guys need, you know, we're always here, so.
Okay.
So
who from your team should be included on things as we get that team going?
Of course, Don Worf, he's on annual leave right now. I'm sitting in for him, obviously. Myself and Darren Chase and Alan Brower.
Okay, the usual suspects.
The usual, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So are we talking, trying to possibly design, build something for next winter? Is that what we're shooting for?
That was what was described in the scoping for the project.
Just want to get confirmation. So I can have some oldies too.
That's the intent.
Okay. Just don't pull a rare switch on us.
Working by March. March of 17.
Please, it'd be funner than going back to the office.
It's a goal.
Yeah, Don is out.
It's the goal. I've had some PDTs that take
there could
a while
be problems here
to get started.
I know. That's why I'm pushing
on BPA side. We'd like to get a general schedule. I think this would have to come from maybe Don Worf, but we're going to try to get the contract in place as soon as possible for building the transceiver, and it's going to come from the NOAA's hit detection technology project, which I think we have to do it before the end of their timeline, which is in March, so that we could transfer the money over to this project. So we need a scope of work and specific budget for that.
By March?
Or actually in the near term. Sandy Downing just wrote me yesterday and asked if we're ready to go with it. That's why I'm bringing it up, so that we could move it. But our finance system is a little bit tricky, where we tend to, it's actually hard to move money between years, like save unspent money and move it to the future fiscal year. So I had to meet with our finance staff and ask if we could make that be possible. So
are you guys working with Don on that?
Yeah. Basically, it's just like if you could hurry along, like coming up with at least a proposed budget that would for the antenna part.
Yeah, and I think they have the design pretty well nailed. So it's Scott. I'd imagine you could provide that at any time, right?
Excuse me.
Did you catch what Christine was saying about
most of it?
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it sounds like what BPA needs kind of a detailed kind of scope and budget for so that they can make sure that the transceivers are
that the contract gets in
that
place.
The contract is in place. Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. I've made note of it, and I'll talk to Don when he gets back from leave.
Okay.
And any scope of work and anything like that required by the Tadis team is completely doable. Not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, that the money is available because it was slated for the Laura Granit OG transceiver this year, which wasn't going to happen. So it was going to end up being kind of unspent funds. So
I see.
It's kind of convenient in that way.
Yeah, very.
Get some extras.
Any other questions on that one? Okay, TSP.
Not much has changed since.
Please step up.
Not much has changed since the last time we briefed in October.
I think you guys are privy to a lot of the stuff that's going on with TSP. We do have a report for B1, B2 pending completion here, I want to say at the end of this month, and we're on target for that, so we should be good with that.
That was B1, B2?
B2.
Right. This is Davidson's
correct.
Work from our modeling work this last year. So.
Correct. TSP is also, the TSP team is also engaged and involved with a lot of the work that's going on in terms of major rehabs. Major rehab is not appropriate terminology, but replacement of turbines, generators, and whatnot.
Right.
Case in point would be John Day. There's a lot of activity that's going on with John Day in terms of that turbine replacement. There's also some discussions that are going on in terms of bio testing, particularly for Ice Harbor. and want to finalize that, get that under our belt. I think the issue there and the concern there is proof of concept, basically. I think that still needs to be resolved. There's some discussions with BPA, division, and whatnot. So that's still being worked up. There's also discussions about early on about maybe having TSP provide support for some of the Willamette, but we're not quite sure how that's going to play out, given that most of the turbines down there are Francis turbines. Mm-hmm. We're looking at that.
Blenders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sharp edges.
Questions?
Real blenders.
On TSP?
No.
Okay. If not, then moving on to B2FGE. And again, not too much has changed since the last time that we briefed this project. We've got a DDR that's been internally reviewed, that's going to be ATR'd. I believe that a copy of the DDR is being sent to you folks.
Yes, this afternoon. Planning to send it out on the Safe Harbor deck site.
This is a 90%?
Correct.
Yes.
90%.
Correct.
Our intent is to get this thing buttoned up and go through the BCOL process sometime in February with an award, I want to say late spring, early summer. And we'll judge that accordingly based on where we are within our contracting office. But we want to get that awarded as quickly as possible. And I mentioned that the bio report, that's still pending. I think that you guys are aware of that.
We'll have
the final report.
Review of that next week.
And I think that we've got a scheduled a special featherweight for the 12th of January to go over a lot
right.
of this.
Right.
Yep, I'm going to schedule that. We'll get a meeting location. I think we have a time already set. And the RDDR have the preliminary results included in the discussion section.
When's the study, the final, supposed to be out?
We were hoping to get a draft report the month of December.
Right.
I think the final.
I thought it was January.
Might have been the end of February.
Oh, okay.
We'll have a review period. A little bit there.
We'll have a review period and updates. I'll check that deliverable date just to be sure.
Okay, so I'll just put that in February for now. Okay.
But I think it needs to be clear that we're leaning forward.
I know. Yeah, that's why we left at the last meeting. We also left it that we were going to have a show of hands this meeting as to who
on the 12th.
Original support for this. I'm not sure that I'm ready for that.
We were hoping to have, you don't count. Before that show of hands, have the DDR out so people could have a look at it. Maybe on January 12th or I don't know. We'll have more.
There's definitely going to be some discussion on the 12th about the issue about the loss of FGE and where the tags went and where it heard and things like that. So, how much that has an effect on the ultimate outcome here.
Yeah.
You guys are way ahead, and then there's that bio stuff's kind of lagging behind,
right?
Which is what we should be making all these decisions on, but it's really out of sync with that.
Yeah, the loss of FGE, though, you got to remember to keep in mind, these were study fished, released from a single point.
Right. I understand that, but I don't want to get into the details other than that there's still an issue out there on that. I'm not saying I have the issue. I did read the notes. I tried. I worked my way through. I read all kinds of concerns in here, but, we're still... This guy, Trevor, had several concerns, and I haven't... that hasn't been resolved as far as I know yet.
And how you do that... prove with any certainty that there is a lost FGE. It's going to take an FGE focus
night.
Right.
And this is something that we expected, with the results, given what we learned in previous year's testing. And it's
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate it. But
no.
It would be better if we had a separate discussion on that, I think. And that's the 12th for whatever that is. I think that's the time to really go over that. I think the biggest point was getting the report sort of cooked to a point where it was close to final.
Yeah.
And I think by now it should be, with a February review coming up next week, whatever Randy's reporting on should be pretty well.
Yeah, Randy's been out for the last couple of weeks, but I think he was supposed to be back on the 1st.
Yeah, it has a lot of people were out since our last February week, so I don't think much has happened. I don't think people really had a chance to review much.
Well, my working
assumption. Show of hands probably not a good idea today.
No, not today.
Yeah.
I think my working assumption is that the DDR will be reviewed by you folks as well as agency technical review internally, and also we should have some more solid preliminary data.
Yeah. Okay.
So with that in hand,
it's great. Right,
yeah. It's okay. Yeah, I don't see it changing. Yeah, the data.
Right. Other than
what we've seen.
Yeah, there was some.
Okay.
But I okay. There, when we last talked, there was still need for some more review or more analysis work. Randy was still in the process of doing that.
Yep.
I don't think everybody's had a chance to review. I think you sent something out a while back, but I didn't know the fish that were found, or the tags that were found.
But those are in the analysis already.
Yeah, that so was we've got a little bit more definition on some of those metrics.
Who's who and all that stuff in there. So
Well, the upshot is we'll have a more robust discussion.
Yeah, okay. and I don't anticipate any showstoppers, but if somebody does want to scream bloody murder, I guess I have a chance.
Okay, all right.
And John will scream back at him, so. And Brad will sit on him, so. Right there, on the spot.
Be warned.
Tag team. Too close, I said, yeah. If I bring up Bonneville Sluice one, ITS, get that attachment on this wall.
Also associated with this project is the orifice light, and I think what we conveyed last time, and I, you know, we're still adhering to that, is the idea that we'll close up, finish up that that document, get that reviewed, incorporate comments, and basically button that up.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
So my concern has been a chance to sit down and go over that stuff. Because I don't want to button up and just walk away from it. I think there's something that there needs to be something that follows up in implementation.
Okay.
As I mentioned the last meeting, I had some thoughts on what we could do to close that out, some things other than just writing a report, throwing it on the shelf, and walking away. And I'd like to have my day in court, but I haven't had that yet.
We were hoping you'd have something now. Are you ready to? We had you on the schedule for
discussion. It's sitting on my desk.
If we could, let's provide context. Okay, I mean the orifice project, as I recall, as I understand it, was basically it bubbled to the top because there were concerns from a maintenance perspective in terms of being able to see what we were actually maintaining.
Right,
and we had. We adhered that to the B2FGE project with the idea in mind that if we were going to make some changes to the lighting, then let's improve the orifice in an attempt to draw fish towards that orifice and, you know, basically provide better egress conditions. That's kind of the genesis of how we started down this path.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I'm the one who started the thing. And the biggest concern that I had was that we could not see, I've been inspecting that project since 1986. The first thing I did, Rock Peters and I went down that walkway down there in the collection channel, looked at those orifices, and you know the thing that he instilled in me was how important it was to make sure that they were clean. And we could look at them and we could see if they were clean or not. There's a definite difference between whether the unit was running or not, but in either case, you could look at an orifice and say, yeah, there's no debris in that, it's clean. On the next one. Since the FGE work, it's been very hard to tell whether those things are clean when the unit's running. When the unit's off, no problem. When the unit's running, it sputters. And so it's always been a problem since then to determine if you have clean orifices. I know there's back flushing, automatic, and all that, but still, I've seen things get stuck on those that defy the back flushing system when it actually works. You know, what I wanted was a look at that problem. Why were we seeing the jet sputtering instead of a nice, fairly smooth jet coming out of those orifices? And that's what was kind of got this thing going. You know, we looked at a lot of different ideas, different rings, different pressure, boring out a larger orifice, diameter orifice. A lot of things were looked at there. You know, all of them look very expensive and probably not going to help us much, but what remains is the inability to inspect those orifices. And so what I sat down and thought about that, it seems to me that with a very simple modification to the light tubes and the lights, we could get a good inspection port to look through. It's all it, all, it's all it amounts to yeah. is a pipe, you know, that with an enclosed light that's off center instead of sitting outside in the open air with spiders and algae and all this other crap on it, with lenses that are totally opaque most of the time. Those could be set inside where they're not subject to the environment, and we could have a straight through tube and look at that orifice, lights right there, and maybe an easy way to back flush it so that you can at least equalize the pressures in there and get a decent jet to look at. That's it. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing. It's not, there's no concrete work. You know, I don't know, safety issues, looking down a pipe, you know, what do you have to have to, if you had a load rejection, is that going to blow your head off if you looking down at that point? You know, you have to make sure that those are looked at and all that, but it just seems to me that a fairly simple fix could close this whole thing out. And this goes back to a letter that I, that Ed and I put together back, or a memo to you guys back in, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, quite a while back, suggesting that same thing. So I'm still thinking that that's, to close it out, I'd rather not just see us put an X on it and put it on the shelf, but to actually have something come out of that. And the real crux of the issue was inspection. If we can just get a way to inspect it with a fairly simple and inexpensive fix, and this is probably something a project could do, careful about saying that, but I, you know, what I, my idea was really basically just an extension of one of the pipes with a different lighting arrangement and a way to open it up and look down it, close it. You know, when you're doing that, you have a button to back flush it, so there you are. You know, fairly simple. The control room operators can walk down the gallery and just look at each one. You know,
I think a lot of this could be taken care of in O&M. You know, they were looking at putting in new lighting in the gallery, an LED light, you know,
right.
would not have the heat of the halogen, which should
it, don't work.
It should it prevent
doesn't.
The scale from baking on the
it
lens.
It doesn't work.
It what?
It doesn't work.
It,
I mean,
what
if
doesn't
I,
work?
I could bring the LEDs. I could bring in photos of that. I don't have them. You know, I, if I was sorry, I'm not ready for this. But
that's okay.
I had photos. I've got a drawing and all the stuff that you know what I was thinking, but. You look at those LEDs versus the halogens, they're hot, they're both hot, they're both just as covered with algae, just as covered with spider dew and everything else. You cannot see through either one of them. I have pictures of both that I took out there last month. I mean, it's the LEDs don't fix the problem. They're cheaper, they last longer, but they're still warm. They're still warm enough to grow all kinds of algae, and the broader spectrum seems to make the algae like it even more. So, yeah, I just don't. That wasn't a fix. It was a. I would suggest, yeah, you do that just to save power. But I don't see it as a fix for this.
You know, one thing I talked with the project about, and I don't know if they're on the phone or not, but you know, we had talked about the orifice lenses and the baked on scale and the algae growth, and they indicated there may be some potential there for, you know, increasing the cycle at which they switch those out, and instead of throwing them away, if they had an LED light, or if you could make it so you had less heat, you know, it would be, it'd be possible to clean those better in season, providing you with an opportunity to look down the other side and see the base of the jet when you're around.
Yeah, that's, I mean, John, I don't want to take time here to do this. We don't have time, but I mean,
we got 2 hours.
When
well,
I
we've been putting it off for so long, at some point we have
yeah,
to have this conversation.
We do, and I
maybe,
you know,
maybe we turn it into an FPOM subcommittee.
I don't
I
think
see
it's
a chair for the task group.
If it's O&M, this will never get done.
That's probably true.
That's right. Research needs to be on the team for it to get done.
And
it'll be delayed. But
I mean, you're standing on a steel grating, wet. You're grabbing an electric light and trying to pull it out of the way, which most of the time it won't budge. I don't think that's the safest thing in the world.
If you're trying to get rid of Gary, well played.
That would work, yeah. I always have
wires.
Concerns about that in order to be able to see down that light tube, to be able to see if it's
the light.
What if
you had the other one open and had one light on the other side? That was higher intensity.
Yeah, the...
Gary, could you send? You
it
said
will,
you have photos, by the way, of the
I can
LED.
Do that. Yes, I can do that. I have
That'd
all
be
that.
Good.
you will end up, I mean, those lenses don't stay clean very long. They would require a lot of maintenance. I just don't see that that's a good long-term solution.
You don't clean them and you go down? Do your inspection?
You don't think you can.
Your CLR?
I mean, if the project's willing to take those lenses out and replace them every 2 weeks or so.
What's the purpose of the lens?
They keep the water from...
When the orifice is not operating, it cycles towards flushing, around the tube will fill up with water.
It's pressurized.
The tube is upstream of the
water
gate. So
it's
like that gate closes that tube.
Water. It's lovely. Yeah, it's just not a good system. It's been very hard to inspect for a long time. Can I point to a mortality? No. And I mean, it's one of those things you don't know. It's going to be lost in the noise of the overall passage injuries and things. But it is part of the requirement. It's in the fish passage plan to inspect those orifices, keep them clean. And the other problem has been that when you try to back flush them manually, a lot of times the air, there's no air. It doesn't even work. So
that's another one.
You're not touching things out there, are you?
No, I've been told. So.
Yeah, if that back flush isn't.
I am touching things. I'm supposed to do an inspection.
It should be.
He accidentally leans against the button or something.
Karen, do you have any input?
But this is simple. I still think it's a pretty simple fix that I was looking at, and maybe you tell me why it's not a simple fix.
Had you guys thought of trying Gary's idea on one inspection port and see if it actually could work, or you could tell him he's totally wrong and just ignore him?
You're totally
wrong. I think it could work. I mean, it's there. It exists right now. It just needs to be kept clean so you can see down it.
If we want to play the keep clean game, we can talk about things that Bonneville keeps clean or doesn't keep clean that they're supposed to keep clean.
How do you make an inspection port that you can see through that's any different than what's already there?
I have an idea.
That's my point. I say you could test out the wild, crazy man's idea.
Okay.
And if it works, hey,
it'll
awesome.
Work fine.
If it doesn't, then you say
it's just an extension of the existing pipe.
So how do we do that? This engaged discussion and
Well, I would. Yeah, I guess if we were supposed to do that today, I'm guilty of not bringing the stuff. But I was hoping to just lay a diagram on the table and let folks look at it and see what you thought. I don't know. I'm not an engineer and I'm not a structural or designer, so I don't know that just an extension of the pipe itself. But all I'm thinking about is those light tubes you have in there. You extend them. You put a Y in. Yeah. And it closed that. You put an LED light in that Y with an enclosure so that it never sees spiders, algae, or any of that stuff. It's inside enclosed. And maybe it'll still, it doesn't get wet in the inside. It's going to get wet on the outside, but you have flushing flow in there. So you've got that light shining on the orifice, and then you've got the tube extending up that you can actually have a hatch on. Open it up. You look down. You can see the orifice just fine. You close it. You're not grabbing an electrical device while you're standing there on the wet grating, and you can see the orifice just fine. And then incorporate a button there to backflush it, so a person can just lever or a button, solenoid operated electronic button or whatever works best. And you can push that button, and it backflushes. You can look and go, cool, we're good. Walk on. You got it. Versus the way it is now. I doubt that anybody really, I don't know, maybe the project does this every day, but I doubt that many people actually take the time to pull that light away and look down that tube to see how clean it really is when you see a sputtering orifice. And a lot of people will just actually run the valve to see if it backflushes and goes coherent. But if the valve doesn't work, you can't do that either. And I have been told that there are valves that don't work. So... that's not acceptable either. So, this is supposed to be the flagship out there. And what are you guys doing?
Why do you all keep trying to talk about this flagship?
That's because where everybody goes to inspect. I guess we need to take all the generals and the, judges and everybody else down the collection chat and say, look at this thing. It's stinky, dirty, full of spiders.
Well, we're definitely willing to look at it.
Yeah.
The suggestion, the recommendation, and if it's implementable, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
I made the same speech last meeting, so.
One of the concerns that I've got is funding for this. How would we do that?
Right.
Not sure if CRFM would cover that. I don't know. That's something that we would need to discuss with the end.
Yeah, it was a CRF-funded, CRM funded study to start with. So I assume that was where this would go as a final closeout for it. But if, you know, it's up to you guys if you think it doesn't rise to that level of. With the way it is now, it's not right.
The design didn't work.
It's not right.
Okay.
And that's a result of either the original design, which it worked okay, or the B2 FGE modifications, which resulted in not working okay. Those are CRFM-funded projects, and so to me, this is just a follow-on for that, finish it up. You know, you don't have to do both orifices or both light tubes. You could just do one. You don't, you know, so it's one per operating orifice out there.
Well, let's bring this up with Ian. Talk about funding for it. That's not any construction was not planned for along those lines, but we can talk about that.
And what I'm saying is just give it a look.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, if you guys think, hey, they don't know, there's safety issues here and all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Just right.
So you'll give us pictures, some drawings or whatever?
I can do that, okay. Yeah. I'm no designer. I just drew this out on a piece of paper and I looked at it, and Ed and I both looked at it.
Well, maybe you would add
that. That's what you had last.
I didn't bring it today,
but it's, you know, it's
that January 12th. You can do a follow-on. That means it should be all day.
Yeah.
Talk about FGE. You talk about the
I just like to get that day in court before you finish and put this thing away.
What's that?
Yeah, we're still meeting Ian at 10.
Ian's not here.
He's not here.
So that's good. Good segue here. We're looking at avian wires.
Yeah.
That's a concern.
It's kind of a fun one.
One of the challenges that we've got is, well, first of all, we want to address the issue.
Good.
Okay. One of the concerns, one of the issues that's in play, however, is this has been turned over to O&M. So if indeed we're looking to go back and look at design again or whatever it is that we're going to look at, again, that's going to be a discussion with Ian, making sure that he's on board with that. But regardless, the team's going to get together and talk about potential solutions to address the matter.
Okay.
The outcome of that, in terms of funding, that's yet to be determined. But it's not something that we want to disregard, something we want to pay attention to.
And it's basically just GDA, John Day,
Fidel's, yeah.
Right. Yeah, we're losing wires at apparently accelerating rates.
Yeah. And in the case of... John Day, they're not wires as much as they are
the cable
the synthetic material there. More on that to come.
Yeah, and do you guys have a path forward, you think, or are you looking for the path forward? Because we've gotten mixed messages from the project about whether they have the maintenance manual, whether they can do the work or they can't do the work and that kind of stuff. And I think we need to close the loop to figure out what the path forward is for getting these things repaired is.
Is this O&M? Did you say it was going to be turned over to O&M?
It was turned over to O&M.
It was, so it is.
So that means they would have manuals.
O&M is trying to kick it back to CRFM.
Yeah. But right. O&M's turned it back. Turned over to
and
boomerang effect.
So the upshot is we need to discuss that.
Are they our problem?
Okay. Yeah.
It will be.
What it's
who does O&M work for? Who work for again? Don't you all work for the Corps?
It's a district problem. It's a district problem that we'll address.
Yeah, us and them.
Yeah.
But aren't you them?
We're all us, right?
Yeah.
So for the next meeting, maybe we can meet with Ian, and it sounds like have that discussion and sort out the color of money.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's color of money discussion, and then there's sort of a schedule for path forward.
And then clarity in terms of what we're doing,
and
who's
clarity,
doing what.
So really you're in a stage of clarity at this point before you even get a path forward and figure it out.
Who's on first, what's on second?
Right.
I mean, and that does lead in a little bit thing, because I mean, one thing we did notice this year was the dowels avian system you had. didn't seem to function as well as it has in years past. And there seem to be some indications from survival data that there was a lot of fish lost below the dells. And that might just be the fact that under low flow conditions, the current avian deterrence
system. That's just down with survival data.
JSATs?
This last year?
Yep. Well, from when they looked at 15. From the McNary fish.
For last year.
For last year.
14.
And then this year we saw the numbers have increased again.
Last year it was 14, yeah, for us. Yes.
Yeah. But so you had data from that, and then you also had a bunch of data, and then you also had a bunch of bird sightings in 15, saying the birds were were much more prevalent and much more effective below the spillway than we've seen in years past.
Well, there's actually data from this year too,
yep.
And that was from the mid-sea releases from Rock Island. Alan Evans reported on that a couple of days ago, and then there was also the pit tank data from couple of different studies, Science Center as well as
the results research. And then all the ports in JSAT data. So
there's some evidence there, yeah.
To do some indications that are...
This past year was crazy. Birds really, really hammering us.
Yeah. So, I don't know, something you guys are looking at, or are you guys saying, it's just a bad year, we'll not have those again? I don't know.
We are looking at increasing boat hazing at the Dells this year.
Okay.
At least 1 month.
Okay. Pick the right month.
We will do our best to pick the right month. That would be, September?
Yeah, after that's a good time.
So that right month is something that will be picked at Epoch?
I believe Cordy was looking at April or May.
Okay.
Let's chit-chat.
Yeah, that should be something, that should be an O&M topic.
Yep.
So are you good?
Great, George. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Wait a minute. Why am I here talking about my prey?
Talk about John.
Stuff. All right. Thought Brasky was going to come here, but lamprey minor mods. Well, I guess we'll start with that. I don't think we have any particular updates. I think we're just going to relay the current schedule, which really hasn't changed. We recently started design work for the Washington Shore. I think at the last meeting, we were just kind of starting to shift away from Bradford Island and to Washington Shore, which is a very similar proposed work. We're kind of at the 30% design, which involved essentially copying and pasting a lot of what was designed for Bradford Island over. And we're just, so everyone's aware, we have an engineer from Walla Walla District who worked on minor mods stuff up there who's helping us with this, do the heavy lifting. I think he's a structural. And intent here is to wrap the minor mods work into the LPS contract that we're hoping to award in the summer. So the design time frame is going to be, it has to be parallel with the LPS work that is, you know, wrap up design by March and get it into the plans and specs and everything. I don't think there's any particular new changes. I had an action item from the last meeting to kind of produce a white paper.
Schematic.
90,000 foot schematic. That pulls the LPS work and the minor mods together. Yeah, sorry. Brad just drew a little small point on a piece of paper. It's a 90,000 foot.
There it all
is.
Call you Google.
So basically, I think Gary was just wanting an overall picture of all the work that's going on in the upper ladder at Washington Shore in particular, but also Bradford Island.
So I know Brian and I sent you a concept because I know Noah was concerned about having three things going on simultaneously.
Right.
And we talked about the wooded wall was the one that would, if there was something that had to be kind of delayed or moved, the wooded wall. So where did that all end up?
That was, yeah, definitely our discussion last time, and I would still say that's what I would delay.
Well, because our suggestion was wall. Maybe look at a different location, so you could at least maybe get a proof of concept in sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they were still talking, going back to Bradford with it, and then I was a little surprised when I looked at some of the stuff he'd sent out that there was kind of a shift back to Bradford before Washington Shore, which was,
I don't think so.
Surprised me a little bit in the overall mods, including, I think, I'm trying to remember now from several days ago, but you were looking at a couple of orifices that could be closed or modified if necessary, but then to do the rest of the orifices on the other side in Bradford before you go back to Washington Shore and do the rest of it, which seemed odd to me, so it was one of those. Syntax.
Yeah, the idea originally is we were going to test it at Bradford. We'd be doing construction
just for a
couple of orifices there. Monitor, see if we see any issues for salmon. See if Lamprey are using them. If it looked like a good concept, we were going to carry that over and
put it in Bradford.
Do it in Washington Shore.
Yeah.
So you do the initial proof of concept basically at one ladder. Then the plan was to install the fully implement at the other ladder.
Okay.
If you were taking a more cautious approach, you could do two at one, then two at the other, then go back and do the full.
Do two at one, do the full at that one, and then move over to the other one, do your test. Whatever, there's lots of ways to do it, but it seemed odd to do your proof of concept in one ladder, then implement fully in the other ladder. Am I the only one that sees that as odd?
No, well, there's also two measures.
I'm a Lamprey group, take this one.
So one of the questions, too, is before you move forward with a full implementation at both, you really, in terms of measuring success, I mean, we'll... Monitoring two orifices, you'll get some level of kind of qualitative assessment and quantitative of the number of lamprey that are actually using them. But the advantage of doing full implementation, and these would be easy to go back in and grout in or remove if it wasn't proving out, but is that we do have a planned telemetry study for lamprey also in... maybe not in 17, but definitely in 18.
Which will get
an RT study. So you'll actually have
both ladders.
If there is a detectable improvement in overall passage efficiency through that section, that would be when you would see it.
Were they to be released? Okay, I see all kinds of issues here. But these animals are going to be released in the Washington Shore ladder or downstream someplace?
Downstream someplace.
So they come through both. And so if you only had, and this was what year?
18.
Okay. So at by Bradford. Then you would have one full ladder done that you would look at?
At Bradford.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking if you just had two orifices, that would be a very good look.
Yeah. No, I know
you'd
that.
Have usage, but not.
So it's a balancing act of kind of schedule and and uncertainties about what we're going to have beyond 18, but also managing risk.
Well, I guess what I think Tom and I were both asking for last time, and I saw the notes that you asked for, and I thought I did, so it's a good thing that you were waiting for it. But for the sort of the schematic, looking at all of the items that are intended to be put in, kind of with some schedule and I don't know, from my perspective I'd like to see a little justification on those and some of that stuff you did provide, but I guess I'm still looking for that overview.
Right, and that's, I think I sent you the very drafty draft of what I was working on.
You did?
Well, that's what we were talking about a week ago. But,
right, that's okay. Well, that was more detail.
But I'm working on it. But in terms of the justification and the overall strategy, I'm trying to outline that. A lot of that was actually in our updated 10-year plan, too.
Okay.
The basic strategy of addressing passage in the upper ladders as being as being beneficial. but tying it all together in one document would be helpful. So that's what I'm kind of working on.
Well, I mean, it basically comes down to what do we expect and benefits for lamprey versus is there any passage issues for salmon
right.
as a result of this, and what's the risk, and how do you judge that ahead of time, and how do you measure it post-construction?
No, and I'm sure the lamprey task group has been fully vetted. I'll kick Brian when I get back and see where he's at.
So yeah, the I mean, is, yeah, you know, the bottom line is that we have very few options structurally for modifying that area. So
yeah.
the solutions that we've outlined to provide, you know, those refuge boxes as a test, there could be issues with those in terms of one concern I have with those is potential sediment build up in them, and they could just get full.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Likely they will, some of them.
Become an O&M delightful project.
But providing cover in the ladder so you can retain more, because there's evidence that lamprey get up there through the night, then they back out, then we don't see them pass.
I don't see any problem with that either, Sean. It's more the orifices and the wetted wall. Those are the two concerns I have.
One of the key things, I think I mentioned this last time, but one of the key things with the wetted wall is that you know, we can always turn it off, and we can adjust the flow on it. So if you see any kind of issues with it, then we can, in season, just you know, turn it down or turn it off.
As long as you make it like that, that'll, I hope, make someone happy. But I know there was definitely a lot of interest from our side going, like, they want to see some sort of test of it because they don't want to wait. It seems like a lot of our strategies so far have not really panned out as well, so they're really kind of looking for every option they can to start trying to get a better path forward for start figuring stuff out. So I think that's why we suggested if you were concerned that the wetter wall with all the other stuff going on and that chunk of ladder was too much, that's why we said look at a different location. But if you're comfortable with just turning, I mean, we prefer to have it there because then all your monitoring's in one location, and that's kind of a good idea. But if you're comfortable with the idea that we can monitor and if we see any sound or action, we can turn it down or turn it off, if that makes you happy or unhappy.
There's a hydraulic effect of the presence of this thing in the ladder itself.
As long as they're not doing 20 gallons a minute. No, like
you know, we talked back and forth about where to put it. The lamprey folks wanted it where it's designed. That wasn't our first choice because of the turning veins, the turning pool there. So the hydraulics aren't what I would consider the best, although for lamprey it makes sense from a hydraulic standpoint. And I don't know. Ed, have you spent any time on this, looked at this in more detail than I have?
Not in a long time. Not since last time we went around with it.
And the wetted wall, just to be clear, again, is not part of the scope of the minor mod stuff. It would be... We'd probably be working with NOAA again on fabricating stuff. And actually, I talked with Hausman a couple of weeks ago about potentially having Bonneville staff fabricate it for us if that falls through. It's pretty straightforward.
I guess the thing I, just to cut to the chase then, the thing that I would like to have to make sure is that there are no hydraulic effects from all of the pieces we're putting in, everything from the entrance, you know, and all of the LPS systems and all of that stuff. The hydraulic effects on the ladder, I think, need to be just put together in one analysis that says that really it's minor. You know, that we're going to deal with sharp edges, that we're not going to have places for debris to build up, the maintenance will be such that we don't have to take the ladder down if we have a problem, you know, those sort of things. Resolve those issues and, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting, when I was working on this, I kind of deleted about half of what I had already written. I was thinking about putting together a table to address that with each item. What are the potential concerns? Kind of what's our RM&E plan too, and how in the design did we minimize risk?
Potential impacts, and then there's this the synergy of the whole thing. I mean, right. You're doing a lot of different
and
things.
The whole thing
what got
again
me was it seems like, oh wow, you know, there's a piece up here, a piece down here, and several in the yep. middle, and in how that, did all of these affect passage in aggregate or in total, that right. I don't know.
And again, on the lamprey side of things, sweet. The strategy there, there's kind of, well, three things essentially that we're trying to do. One is before fish even get to the serpentine weir section, trying to divert them away by right. installing the new LPSs. Then once they get through that count slot, there's another opportunity to get them out of there before they hit where the area where they seem to turn around, and that's the wetted wall.
Right.
And that would drop them back into that channel right. where they can access right. an LPS.
Yeah.
And then the intent of the orifices is to provide, you know, we're not really sure, we're still not sure, even though we had a targeted
still got a lot of velocity
study
there,
exactly why they turn around there.
Yeah. But it gives a
combination of velocity and turbulence. U of I was thinking it may be a disorientation because of the unique kind of back and forth. So having a line of those may help. We're not sure. And then the refuge boxes, which is to provide cover because it's well known in Pacific and sea lamprey that they have an aversion to light during that, especially during that migratory phase.
So just looking at them and making faces at them.
Right.
Yeah, we can cover the ladder. We put tarps over the ladder.
Well, that's the
kind of so we're kind of
doing windows in there.
A bunch of different things to try and address with, you know, with the budget, the schedule, and everything that we have.
Yeah. So I think you get my drift. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of things, and if we can
pull it all together,
and say, okay, here's what all's being done. Here's why we don't think it's going to be a problem, and there's no additive effect here.
Right. Okay.
Cool. That'll shut me up.
I was trying to keep him happy.
Thank you.
It's a tough task. Bourbon in the coffee seems to be the best strategy right now.
Yeah. Any other comments on minor mods?
Yeah.
So I will get that out to the group as,
cool.
as
Thank
I can.
You.
Moving on to the LPS project, it's been good. Design work has really accelerated, which is great given our schedule. And we hope to have, Taraski says 90% review of the design. This would be plans and specs on 15 January. So that was kind of the next round that I was going to send out to the group. I think the last thing I sent out was a 90% DDR, and that was on most of the design work. It was kind of a 60% plans and specs, you know, kind of phase for us. So, we're working through it. And Brent Welton just finished putting together a cool kind of CAD model of the LPS, and I need to get that out to you guys so you can see it. If folks are interested in seeing it,
yeah,
kind of overlays it over the ladder. I don't think I have anything especially new on that project. The flume system side of that, again, they're part of the scope of this project is making tweaks to the flume. The details for the kind of velocity barrier plate that we're going to put inside the flume, the mechanicals are still working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out a way, how do you install this easily?
Yeah.
Like with those, you know, least amount of pain, basically. You know, so if you can imagine a long plate, inserting a long plate inside a long flume that's hanging off the side of the ladder. Brent and his team were trying to figure out the best way to do that. So he started breaking it up into segments, but then that raises issues here. Could you be creating another seam that lamprey would have to hop over? Yeah. So I haven't seen, other than a sketch up on a whiteboard, I have not seen a design for that. So I'm getting a little bit nervous about that. But the team is aware that if we're going to have a fix in the package, it's got to come together pretty soon.
Time to waste.
So as I get something, you guys will get something on that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
To you guys. I mean, it's not our issue. I mean, as long as with the bubble, as long as Dr. Bubbles has his way,
just bring the bubbles. You're in the effervescence.
Any questions? Phone?
What else do you have? Any topics you need to talk about with Portland District?
I don't have any questions at this time.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, my brain's been so mush, I couldn't have time to think of
it. No, I didn't. I read through quickly and I missed my assignment, of course. But I read through that. I spent more time puzzling over the minutes than anything else.
Yeah.
Right. I
a very, very long time, over 2 days, reading through that and trying to understand what they
meant. Fall asleep.
I would
awful.
Just like to point out that you should really appreciate the minutes you had received from me then, because apparently it isn't as easy as I make it
look. I do. I do. Believe me. Yeah, this is it's one of those things where it's like, what do you say? If I could just add a word or two to fix it, and I could.
Next meeting, it looks like, is February 4th.
Okay. That was awesome.
Oh, I screwed up.
I'm sure I have that.
Next meeting?
Yep, February 4th. It looks like I will not be around for that one.
What's the 4th?
Oh,
the first,
I don't know.
Thursday in February.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday?
You'll have
it. Sure. Yeah. That's your problem.
Am I sure?
I've read.
No, I said sure. That's
oh.
Fine.
No, I'm asking if you can read the calendar.
Yes.
All right.
Well, you
want to confirm that. I'm not that cross for you there.
AFEP review.
AFEP review next week.
But Walla Walla Fitter Week first, it's going to be awesome.
Walla Walla Fitter Week first, and then Turbine.
Biostream.
Yes, we have a room, but it's on the third floor and it's not very good. So if that
I
works,
I try to get this room. We'll just have to take what we get.
Well,
so this
nice
for
Ella's got a room.
Yeah.
For the next week or whenever it is.
You might ask Noah if he's got a room.
They have their security issues.
Actually, they give you card swipes now, so it's actually not that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have one available?
St. Helens, is that option?
No.
So kind as to inquire if
not.
There's a room available.
I will not.
I'll bring you Christmas cookies.
I will not. I'll be all.
Oh, God. Call Trevor. Trevor's still young and silly. He might do.
Ed's still on the phone.
Ed. Trevor.
Yeah.
Check to see if the St. Helens room is available for the 17th FPOM meeting. Otherwise, we're going to be in the hall that is the third floor room in our office, which has questionable phone lines
in the hall.
It's actually not a bad conference room. The problem is the phone line system there is totally janky. You never know what you're going to get. So,
17th of December?
Are we December?
December? Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of weeks.
Okay.
If you do, that'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Why am I doing your job?
Actually, you were the one that is failing to come up with the room.
Hey,
do you have anything
last time I checked, this is a
see, this is why I don't accept
this
the responsibility.
This is why I'm nice to get you a room.
Right, thank you, everyone.
Next thing
you
know, you're out of
the room, and I get in trouble back at the office for giving the room up. For giving the room.
This is why we don't have it in no in the first place. It's because I refuse to do this.
I know, it's a pain in the arse.
It is such a pain.
We're usually fine, but there's every so often it gets to be someone gets all bent and just has to deal with it.
Well, it's that stupid card thing. I mean, Bill's always. If somebody runs off with a car and
he's having an email. It's awesome.
Poor guy, his blood pressure must go sky high because he's all excited about it. I'm not going to do this.